So we're in our final week of our sermon series on the topic of freedom. We are coming in to land with this brilliant verse in Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We're going to look at Paul's letter to the Galatians in a moment in more depth, and that is a really bold statement that he makes. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So take your stand. Let no one put the yoke of slavery on you again. Take a stand for your freedom and for the freedom of others. This is going to be a sermon of two halves. The first half, trusting that not everyone has hung on every word of every week so far, will be a bit of a recap of the story so far. And it is worth going over again, because this is the story of the people of God. And it is our story today as we take it forward. And the second half, we will look at that passage in Galatians again in a little bit more detail. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So let's recap the story so far, because the topic of freedom permeates the whole Bible. In the very first week, we looked at the reason we're in captivity in the first place. We went right back to Genesis, and we looked at the fall of the angels and the fall of man, because that was opposed to God's will for us. We were built for freedom. That was his design. That was his plan. We were given a lush garden to live in that had everything we could possibly need, good foods for us to eat, space, peace, company, relationship, time with one another, and time with him to walk in the cool of the day. We did not know shame. We were naked and unafraid. And then the snake came and whispered temptation and deceit. And we listened. And we walked into a cage. Then on the second week, we looked at God's longing to be reunited with us. As we had walked into that cage, so we put a separation between us and him. And in the second week, we looked at that deep desire he had to be reunited with us. And because it is in the nature of God to work with us, he doesn't impose upon us. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us. The word is paraclete, para meaning alongside. We are not done to. Because of this, God chooses a people through whom he wants to redeem mankind. He chooses a people that he wants to bless and to charge with the awesome task of being a blessing to the whole of the nations, to repair our relationship with God. And so he calls the Israelites the chosen people. But they worshipped other gods. They too listened to that deceitful voice and fell away from their true calling. And the rift between God and mankind was further deepened. Week three, we looked at how God, the loving, ever-loving parent with an ache inside him for a child that has gone astray, says, okay, if not a whole nation, if I cannot find a nation who will listen to me and abide by my laws, then we'll just do it through one person. One person can redeem the whole of mankind. So he sent a succession of kings of Israel. And the kings were called to lead their people, to be an example, to listen and worship Yahweh. But not one managed it. Even the good kings fell short of the call on their lives. The next week, week four, we looked at the intertestamental period, the time of waiting, the place in which most of us actually live most of our lives, suspended between faith and doubt. That's where we fluctuate, depending on where we're at, between faith and doubt, that time between prayers and answers. Waiting is the common Christian experience. And in that lack of answers at times, seemingly, in that tension, so we meet God really profoundly. And so we grow. We looked also at Holy Saturday, that time before the disciples knew for sure that Jesus was going to rise again, and that they must have been filled with grief and fear, and yet daring to hope that their freedom might yet come again. All is not lost, but there is that mixture of fear and hope. Week 5, we looked at the incarnation. God needs one person through whom he can redeem the whole of mankind. The nations couldn't do it, the kings couldn't do it, so he himself comes in Christ to do it for us, the thing that we couldn't quite manage. And as he comes, he experiences the fullness of our humanity. He experiences shame and pain and brokenness. He embodies our experience to the very depths so that we know there is nothing we can go through that he hasn't had a share in. In week 6, we looked at the cross, that Jesus himself descended to hell on our behalfs, and that by his wounds we are free. The bitter cost of our freedom. He who was without sin entirely took sin upon himself for us so that we would be free. And then last week we looked at Revelation, the end of the story, looking to a future filled with freedom if we walk in the ways of Christ. We looked at how God is setting people free today with 2 stories, that of Charlie Mackesy and Sia Khaleesi, different examples of how that has worked out. And if you didn't catch that sermon, just go and listen to those stories. It's up on the website. Incredible examples of God moving in power in his people today. Today, someone has been set free by Jesus. Today, an addiction somewhere has been broken by his power. Someone has escaped an abusive relationship with courage they were given by the Holy Spirit. Someone has found a reason to live today because of Christ. He continues to set people free today. So in this, our final week, we look at the verse from Galatians. The whole series hinges on, it is for freedom that Christ sets us free. Take a stand. Take a stand for your freedom and for the freedom of those who cannot stand by themselves. Galatians, we believe, was the first of the New Testament letters to be written in 48 to 49 AD, in and around then. And we believe it was written about the time in Acts 15 where the early Christians at the church in Antioch were insisting that new believers were circumcised, as we heard in our reading. And Paul and Barnabas are arguing with them. They argue this all the way to the council in Jerusalem, declaring that this is false teaching. Today's equivalent would be fake news. This is a false teaching. And they, in return, are arguing, well, Paul doesn't really belong. He is diluting the Jewish teaching. He is not one of us. And Paul is desperately calling them back to the heart of the message that they heard in Christ. This is about grace. This is about love. This is about acceptance. This is not about laws and religion and rules. This is about faith in Christ, who fulfilled the law. Christ fulfilled the law for us so that we might be free. It is one of the most strongly worded of all of Paul's letters, and we can tell that this is a topic he really cares very, very deeply about, that we must not fall back into legalism. We must not. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Free from the excludatory nature of human beings. We cope with our world by putting things and people into boxes, and there is a place for that. But when we put people into boxes of you are okay or you are not okay, or you are acceptable and you are unacceptable, so we are opposing Christ's teaching, which declares that we are all chosen by grace if we choose to be. Freedom is a many multifaceted diamond. It can mean freedom from physical snares. And I believe in miraculous healing today. I've seen some incredible healings. But it's so much more than that. It's freedom into a life of joy and peace, perhaps in the face of bitter poverty, as was Sia Khaleesi's story. It can be freedom from one type of life into a radically different type of life, as was Charlie Mackesy's story. It can and does mean our very salvation in Christ, freedom in salvation, the narrow gate through which we are called to walk, the difficult path that leads to the fullness of life available for all of us. The freedom that we find is an opportunity for us to exercise love, not to impose the law. If you want to follow the law of Christ, go and love each other. Go and radically love each other. Really important caveat here. Paul is not opposed to works. He wants us to work hard. He wants us to commit ourselves to becoming more Christ-like, to being moral, good, upright people. But we do so under grace. That is the key difference. We do it as a response to the love of Christ that we have encountered, not because we've been beaten over the head by the law. We become more like him as we linger in his presence. We become more like him as we pour ourselves out in the service of one another, not by ticking boxes or gaining achievements. God does not see us as commodities who have either achieved or not achieved. It is for freedom from that that Christ set us free. We are justified by faith in him alone. And we are sanctified gently and lovingly through the course of our whole lives by a life lived with him. We are justified by faith and sanctified by a life lived with him. Theologian James Dunn entitles his chapter on Galatians 5, "In conclusion, do not abandon your freedom." Paul is writing to a group of people who have tasted the goodness of Christ. They know what it is to be free. They've been there. And yet somehow they have fallen subtly and slowly by the wayside. They have been tempted away from their freedom into legalism again. The whole letter, Dunn says, can be summarized by, "It is for freedom that Christ set us free, so take a stand." He says, "Like a lawyer pleading for a client in danger of being found guilty of a capital crime, he sees this as a critical moment in the life of the church. Which way are they going to go?" Paul clearly fears for the whole Galatian church that they might be lost to legalism if they don't grasp this message again. Come back to Christ. Come back to the freedom you have found in him. That is the heart of the gospel. The statement he makes is deliberately abrupt. It is designed to call the reader to attention. Listen up, folks. This is what it is all about. Freedom from and freedom for. Let's leave this series with the following thought. This journey to freedom is the story of the people of God. It always has been. And now we are invited to take our place in it, to live a life of freedom in him. And that may take courage on our part, but we can rest assured that he is with us every single step of the way and promises us freedom from our prisons of self-hatred, of addiction to drink or drugs or exercise, freedom from caring about what other people think, freedom from debt, freedom from shame, freedom from fear. You fill in the blank for yourselves. It will be different for us all. We are invited to the fullness of life that Christ bought for us, not by striving or legalism, but by grace, by the price that he paid. Freedom for. Part of our walking out into freedom is fulfilling our calling to serve others in a way that sets them free, that liberates them by being Jesus to them, by telling them stories about Jesus, sharing our own stories of the liberating power of the gospel, loving the utterly unlovable, as Jesus has loved us in our unlovable state, pouring ourselves out in the service of captives. We can all contribute to this story. We all have a part to play. He has carved out something just for us, something that fits us, something that utilizes the gifts that he has given us, something that we will find life-giving as we walk into and embrace. Jesus' blood spilt for us on the cross sets us free. This is the story of the people of God. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. So let's take up our part in the story now. As we close in prayer, let's ask God what that looks like for each of us. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the freedom you have bought for us. We know that the cost was dear. I pray that you would show us all where we can walk in a deeper freedom with you, where we are still bound by legalism. I pray that you would help us live so radically differently that it would cause people to ask why, and that in the asking we would share our stories of your liberating love with boldness and with grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.